leave you a programming note here, if I might. Coming up on the program tomorrow, Senator Rand Paul is going to join us here. He's been here before. He's not an easy guest to get, but he's a great interview once he stops. And he's been here a number of times, like I say, not often, but on occasion. And the thing that I want to ask Rand Paul about is not the impeachment. It's not the investigation of the president. It's a tweet that he sent out to John Brennan. John Brennan tweeted on the 4th of February, Rand Paul is beneath contempt. He typifies the worst of at real Donald Trump's craven enablers. Any senator excusing this dangerous behavior makes a mockery of public service. History will revile all of you. And then Rand Paul responds the next day in a tweet. You want to know what's a mockery of public service, John? Killing 500 people outside of any judicial system. Drone strikes on American citizens. Approving British spies to present a dossier of lies paid for by Hillary. Lying to Congress. Your shame alone should shut you up. So unpacking that a bit, I want to know about killing 500 people outside of any judicial system. Is that in reference to the attacks in 2014 in Kiev, Ukraine? Drone strikes on American citizens. What is he referring to there? We know what the dossier is. What about lying to Congress? Should he be held in charge with that? I believe that if I lied to Congress, I would be held to account for that. Why is John Brennan off the hook? Why is John Brennan able to lie with impunity? That's the real question. So Senator Rand Paul will be here tomorrow. I'm going to ask him about that. I'm going to ask him what he means. And the biggest question I have is about the 500 people killed outside of any judicial system. Is he saying that John Brennan was involved in killing people outside of the system? We'll get to that tomorrow with Senator Rand Paul. All right, shifting gears now. My next guest, Dr. Sean McCallmont. He is a president of Career Learning Solutions of K-12. The White House is calling for career education, education in the trades. I think it's a good idea, and it's about time. Dr. McCallmont, welcome to the program.
Hey, good to see you, Steve. Good to hear from you.
Always good to talk to you. So give me an idea. When I try to find a carpenter, a plumber, or electrician, those things tough to find. Welders are the same thing in other areas. There are all sorts of jobs out there. And I'm talking about good paying jobs, $25, $30, $35 an hour and up, depending on where you are. And our schools aren't turning enough people out, not even close to address these needs. Is that why you're supporting this?
Absolutely. You know, the skills gap not only relates to technical jobs, but also the trades. And, you know, I think the last time we talked about the bias around kids that go into the trades. Career counselors keep sending students to traditional education, and not everybody is attuned to that.
Well, absolutely true. Let me give you an example. Let me give everybody an example. I know a young man who's 20 years old, just started at a carpentry business, a builder. He's starting at $15, $16 an hour as an apprentice. So instead of going to school and racking up massive debt, he's getting $15, $16 an hour where he can, you know, he can get by and rent a decent place and pay for a decent car on that. And 3 or 4 years down the line, that will double, because by then he'll have a license in carpentry and a license in plumbing. He'll have saleable skills. And what he won't have is $100,000 in student loan debt. Pretty good place to be, isn't it?
It really is. I think we found historically that, you know, because all students are pushed toward a traditional education, they get there, and then half of them realize it's not for them. So while they're figuring that out, they're paying tuition and incurring a lot of debt. And, you know, we've got to really look ourselves in the mirror and say that not all jobs require a bachelor's degree today. And all we're saying at K-12, especially in our career readiness effort, is that kids need options. They need more options. So let's get the kids that want to go the traditional route there, and those who want other options, let's give them those skills and options as well.
Doctor, I think you're right about the fact that somehow the kids that go into the trades, are not looked on as favorably as those that go off to a traditional four-year college or university. I think that's unfortunate. I mean, and there's no question. I want my doctor to go to college. I want my lawyer to go to college, my architect. There are certain things you must go to school for and be competent in. But when it comes to other endeavors, you can be really skilled with wood, be brilliant. Just because you didn't go to college doesn't mean you're not brilliant in your craft and your trade. I mean, a Finnish carpenter that's really good is an artisan, a person that is magic with their hands, yes or no?
Absolutely. And I think what we're finding is there are levels of training that exist for those trades and for those artisans. But again, I mean, they could be a six-month training program, a nine-month training program, or 3 years. It's just that it's different than the traditional path, and we've got to be okay with that.
Yeah, and I think that we have to talk about, in fact, going back to the 2016 campaign trail, the one candidate that was harping on that was Marco Rubio. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida was harping on, we've got to promote the trades. We've got to have shop classes reopen at the schools, because the high school that I went to, shop was dismissed a long time ago. I mean, they don't have a shop class anymore. Woodworking, all of that stuff is gone. But it should be brought back and encouraged, because there are so many different opportunities. Not everybody is going to be a social worker. Not everybody's going to be a teacher. Not everybody needs to go to college, clearly. So where do we go from here? How do we jumpstart it?
Well, what we've done at K-12 is we started the Destinations Career Academies. And the reason we did that was to provide that other option to students who need it. And the way that students figure out if they need it or not is by doing a quick self-assessment. You know, what are their strengths and weaknesses? Then you introduce different career paths. You know, are you interested in one or the other? If we can expose them very early to these trades and alternative paths, then they get on that path early, and then they start finding their way to a certification, an apprenticeship, internship, or a job. And so we've got to be open with letting them explore the careers early on.
Right. What a great idea it is to get a kid started in one of these trades. They can save money, you know, a couple of $100 a month. If you save that starting when you're 20 years old, by the time you're 65, you'll be worth millions. I mean, you can look at the charts and the graphs. You start saving money as opposed to being behind the eight ball with a $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 worth of student debt that you're just trying to service by, you know, living in mom's basement. Great, I've got a college degree. What good is it if it doesn't take you anywhere? I'll give you the last word, doctor.
Well, exactly. And I think we'll find that if you ask a freshman in high school today what careers they're aware of, they're going to come up with like three or four. They just don't know at that age. And so the more we can expose them, give them a view into what that career path might be like, or talk to an industry professional, they can see themselves in a particular path down the road. And I think we've got to keep exposing them to those alternative paths.
I completely agree. Dr. Sean McAlmont here, president of the Career Learning Solutions at K-12. Doctor, always a good conversation. Thank you for being here, as always.
Thank you so much.
There you go. All right, it's 41 after on a Monday. Quick break. We're going to dig into some other things. We're going to talk about the coronavirus, where it is, what the latest numbers are, and whether or not you should be concerned. We'll be right back.
Protecting Michigan's waters is critically important, and so is providing the energy that fuels Michigan's quality of life. A tunnel for Line 5 is the right solution. This underground concrete tunnel housing Line 5, deep under the Straits of Mackinac, means multiple layers of protection and virtually no chance of a leak into the Great Lakes. It also eliminates the possibility of an anchor strike, and it means no interruption to the energy that Michigan needs. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Line 5 Tunnel.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now we're announcing a bold new goal to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy. They do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers and our communities. Learn more at dteimpact.com. DTE.
Every week at Ellie's Place, peer support groups help hundreds of children and teens learn to cope and begin to heal after the death of a parent, sibling, or someone close to them.
It just made me feel like I wasn't the only one going through this.
1 in 12 children in Michigan will experience the death of a parent or sibling before the age of 18. At Ellie's Place, children interact with peers who've suffered a similar loss and express their emotions in a secure and empowering environment. Learn more at elliesplace.org.